of Hartford is here, Luke Bronin. And Mr. Mayor, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad. How are you doing?
You're busy.
Oh, still waiting for the first boring day.
When do you sleep? Somebody asked me that. He said, I don't think the mayor sleeps.
Well, you know, I still got three little ones, so our 3.5-year-old still climbs in bed in the middle of the night. So that's the real problem with sleep. But other than that, all's well.
You know, I had the one of my favorite reporters from the Hartford Courant, Dan Haas, on yesterday's program, and then we were talking about you, and he was on the positive side too, as far as getting the city straightened out. Where do we stand right now, as far as you're concerned, as far as Hartford goes?
Sure. Well, look, first let's talk about all those things that, you know, make me optimistic about the future of the city, and I think make a lot of people optimistic about the future of the city. There's a ton of stuff going on. You know, we've talked about it before. You've got the University of Connecticut coming in August in their downtown campus, can bring thousands of students. You've got the Barnes & Noble opening right across from that. That's going to help bridge Front Street, which is doing great. And, you know, if you go down and see Bear, I was down there last night, and Bears is still packed at 9 o'clock at night, and all the other restaurants that are down there doing well. Then you've got that link up to Main Street and to Trumbull Street. Last night was the soft opener of the ballpark, where you had the Hartford Hawks playing against Quinnipiac.
Sold out for the next couple nights.
Sold out tomorrow night's opening game for the Yard Goats. You've got residential units that have been filling up that are, you know, more than 90% full and leasing well. You've got train service coming in both directions. You've got the corporate community that's getting re-engaged, and those three companies that, you know, committed a significant financial commitment over the next 5 years to help send the message that the strength of Hartford matters to them. You've got development projects like down in Coltsville, where, you know, what was only a few years ago a really vacant, old, a commercial industrial center is now back to life as both commercial and residential. You've got a bunch of neighborhood development projects in the works, and you've got, I think, just an increasing sense of energy in the city. So there's all of that, and if you look around the country at the cities that have turned themselves around, those are the ingredients of the turnaround. Those are the things that make a city revived and revitalized. At the same time, as we talked about before, we're dealing with a massive fiscal crisis, and it's the crisis that's been building for decades. And the reality is that the root of this crisis is that you have a city that's just too small and that has a property tax base that's smaller than the suburbs. You know, when the city of Hartford has less taxable property than a suburb like West Hartford, something doesn't work, and the numbers just can't add up. So, as you know, we've been doing everything we can to drive out costs. We cut $20 million out of the city budget over the last year, which are deep cuts. We've negotiated aggressively with our labor unions, and we got a really significant deal with our firefighters association. We continue to negotiate with the others. But the reality is that union piece is only a small part of it. Even if we got everything we're looking for, that doesn't solve the problem. The only thing that solves the problem is a different type of partnership with the region and the state, because you just can't fight with both your hands tied behind your back. And when half the property in the city is non-taxable, and the property that is taxable is less value than a suburb's tax base, it just can't work, and it certainly can't allow you to get the city strong and vibrant. So what we're fighting for is that new partnership with the state of Connecticut. And because you have all those things going right, because there are so many examples of momentum and energy and progress, if we can get out from under this cloud of the fiscal crisis, we can turn the city around.
Again, you know, when you stop to think about this over the years, you would have thought somebody would have thought of it. But, again, you just hit on something, and I was talking yesterday with somebody who just moved into downtown, and most of those apartments, I mean, and they're young people, too. They're not older folks, they're younger people, and it's a very big step forward. But, again, how long will it take us, Mr. Mayor? How long will it take us to get this straightened out? I know you've been working on it, but does it take It's going to take the other towns. Are the other towns going to have to come in a little bit?
No, what it's going to take is the state legislature in the budget this year, so the budget that should be adopted at the beginning of June, it's going to take those legislators recognizing that you can't ask a city to fight with its hands tied behind its back, and that at a minimum, the city needs to be fairly compensated for all of that non-taxable property that we've got. Remember that in addition to being the employment center of the city, in addition to being the arts and cultural center of the region, rather, in addition to all those things, the city is also the place where the region's trash gets burned and recycled, where the region's sewage gets treated, where the region's patients go to hospitals, where the only, drug treatment and homeless shelters and pantries exist anymore for the most part. There's an enormous, and of course, where state government is located. So there's an enormous amount of non-taxable property in the city of Hartford because the city is hosting all of these things that the entire region and the entire state needs. The state, for a long time, has had a law on the books that says that the state is supposed to pay payments in lieu of taxes, money to the city that the city loses because all those things are non-taxable. But for years, that formula hasn't been funded. And if that formula were just funded, then our city would be solvent. So that could be your question of how long does it take to fix that? It could be fixed in a day. It can be fixed the day that a budget is adopted and signed that recognizes that you can't run a city when more than half the property is non-taxable. And that recognizes that there's a reason we have all of that non-taxable property. It's because it provides services to the entire region and the entire state. You can't concentrate all of the burden of that on one place.
Well, this is, and I brought this up, this was a long, long time ago, this whole regionalization, but it seems when you mention the word regionalization, you get everybody coming on like gangbusters all over you. And I'm just wondering, and I leave this with a question before we take a break, that how can we solve that part of the problem? And by the way, you folks out there that are listening, if you would like to ask questions, feel free to call us this morning, okay? 1-888-574-2723. If any of you have any thoughts at all about this, and it's something that we've all got to think about, because it's the future of our state. There's no question about it. 17 minutes after 8 o'clock, and I'll be back. I'm Dan and myself, the mayor of Hartford, Luke Bronin, 22 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. And again, if any of you want to talk to the mayor, 1-888-574-2723 is our telephone number. Well, baseball. Huh? We're all going to be there tomorrow night. You went last night, didn't you?
I went last night. You know, last night they had this soft opening just to work out the kinks in the ballpark, and they had a good crowd for Hartford Hawks, University of Hartford versus Quinnipiac. I went over with my wife and two of our kids. We had a great time. It is a beautiful ballpark.
Oh,
it's a ton of
really?
Fun. It's going to be a ton of fun whether you come in, with colleagues after work to just, have a beer and enjoy a game, or whether you're coming over as a family and enjoying it. It's great for the kids. It's going to be a ton of fun.
And also, I was talking with a couple of people, Mayor Bronin, and those two areas, that A and B area, those are going to be built up. There's no question about it. There are people I know that are already interested in them.
You mean the lots around the ballpark?
Yeah,
look, we're going to be working hard to get those lots developed. That was part of the original plan that was proposed by the prior administration. The challenge we've got is that the contractor who was building the ballpark also had site control of those lots, and obviously we fired that contractor over the summer, and so we're gonna be working on making sure that those lots are moving towards development by a contractor and a developer who we think are capable and credible and have the capacity to actually get it done.
Well, Dan, who is away, he's on the road doing baseball, and he'll be back tomorrow. But I've never seen anybody. He loves baseball. And I've never seen anybody so excited about what this is going to mean. And when you stop to think of it, Mayor Bronin, this is something that we have never had in Hartford. We've never had this.
Not for a long, long time.
Long, long time. Back to the Hartford Chiefs. I mean, it goes back to many, many years. But I just think it's going to be tremendous for the young, especially with the young in downtown Hartford now coming in to, you know, buying property.
I think it's going to be great for folks who are living down. I think it's going to be great for folks who live all over the city, and I think it's going to be great for folks who are around the region. Again, you know, you've got about 100,000 people who commute into the city every day to work, and this is something, again, for those folks to do after work, too. Just stick around, go to a game, you know, skip the rush hour, you know, go out for a quick dinner or get some food at the ballpark and enjoy a game with friends. For residents of the city and beyond, it's an affordable way to have a great family outing or time with friends. You know, it's $6 a ticket, and the way they've built the program, you know, it is going to be a lot of entertainment, really, really family friendly. So I'm excited about it. And I tell you, you know, I had my last night. We had our boy who's about to turn six, and our 3.5-year-old girl, and they loved every minute of it. And tomorrow night we're bringing our 7-year-old girl too. They loved every minute of it, and you know, they were just, you could see how excited they were by it, and that was exciting to me. I mean, look, you know, I inherited this project last year.
Oh.
It's not a project that I supported it. The reason I didn't support it was because of the financials. You know, I the numbers didn't make sense to me. But no matter what you thought about that decision to build the ballpark, and no matter what you thought about the financial decision, there's no question that it's exciting to have that energy, you know, to have thousands of people coming down, enjoying a game together in one of the most beautiful ballparks in the country. And so, no matter what you thought about it, this is time to rally together. It's time to embrace this, both the ballpark and the team, you know, enthusiastically, and just make it a success and have fun.
Well, I was talking with Dan. Dan's been doing reports from Philadelphia the last 2 to 3 days, and he said how the guys are just absolutely, they can't wait. They can't wait to start. Okay, let's go to John in Bloomfield. John, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, Brad. I just called to say good morning to you and the mayor. I want you guys to know I look up to both of you guys. Ever since the Bellevue Square and Patty Dukes, I've been looking up to you, Brad. You're one of the bright spots in the community.
What kind of a telephone have you got?
A cheap one. Chief, well, can you hear me better now?
That's better. Yep.
Okay. Yes. I just want to say hello to the mayor, too. I had the privilege of having lunch with him at the East Hartford Rotary Club. He sure gets around.
That's for sure.
Good morning, John.
Yeah, he even let me take a picture with him. I don't know if he remembered me.
I'd know you if I saw you, I bet.
Oh yeah. You gave a good speech there. I just wanted to commend you on doing a great job and keep doing what you're doing, Mayor.
I appreciate it, John. Thank you very much.
Okay, you guys welcome. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Yep.
But again, you have got, you know, but a lot of the, you, and you've been to West Hartford, you've been all over, and you've had a tough sell in some areas, but do you think that some regionalization, I don't mean all, but something will be started eventually?
Well, look, I mean, when I was doing those town hall tours town hall meetings in communities all around Hartford, and I'll probably do some more of them, you know, what that was about, it was less about regionalism than it was about talking about why it matters to have a strong capital city. You know, why that matters to all of our communities. You know, you can't be a suburb of nowhere, and you can't be a successful suburb of a failing city. So we've all got an interest, and we've all got an investment in making sure that the city is strong. And that's what those meetings were about. It was about walking people through, look, why do we have this financial crisis in Hartford? Why do we have this fiscal crisis? What have we done about it already? And why is it that ultimately solving it the right way means solving it at a bigger level with a partnership with the state? That's what those meetings were about. And, you know, again, coming back to that issue that a lot of people don't know that half of the city is non-taxable or that you got less taxable property here than you do in the number of suburbs. A lot of people don't know all the things that we've done to get our financial house in order. And a lot of people I think, don't necessarily spend a lot of time thinking about what are the consequences if you don't have a strong city at the center. The reality is, if you look around the country to all the places that are growing and beating us in the competition for jobs and investment, it's happening because they have strong cities. So we've all got to do that. That's what those meetings in the communities around Hartford were about. To your question about regionalism, look, you know my view, and not a lot of people disagree with it, although I think a lot of people agree with it. If you were building a state from scratch, you would not take a state of 3.5 million people and carve it into 169 towns and then duplicate every single service over those towns. Nobody else in the country does it that way. And so, I think we should be doing some serious thinking about how we can share services, how we can make taxpayer dollar go farther by doing that. Ultimately, I was looking at something yesterday. You know, when Hartford was founded, it was 87 square miles. Today, it's just about 18 square miles. While everywhere else in the country was having their cities grow by incorporating more area, we were chopping ourselves up smaller and smaller. And it's hard to succeed that way. So I'm not saying we eliminate the lines, but let's figure out ways to share services, and let's recognize that we all got a stake in the success of the central city.
Number one, I want to say one thing to you, Mark, okay? And I want you to get it straight, all right?
You're yelling at me already. Are you even
asking? No, I'm not yelling at you, but you have been very disrespectful to some of my listeners the way you talk to them, and I'm not going to stand for it. I want you to understand that.
What's the proof?
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I said, what's the
proof? Okay, then go ahead with your question.
I don't know one.
Just understand that.
Well, I wish you'd provide me the proof. Hey, Lou, can we talk?
Anytime, Mark.
Okay, let's talk about fiscal responsibility. This is where I got hung on the last time. I asked you last year to try to explain to me how it was beneficial to anybody to send 31 teachers down to Florida except an award. I also want to ask you, when Doug McGorry, I know you're friends with him, he actually secured $250,000 from the state to put up a bronze statue of Doc Hurley, who's a great man. Trust me, he should be honored. I think he should be honored with resurrecting his fund to send underprivileged children to college instead. But you see, those of us on the outside, when we see stuff like that, what do you think we think?
Well, first of all, let me say a couple of things. I agree with you on the conference where a bunch of folks went down to the conference. So that was a decision by our prior superintendent, who is now gone. It's a Board of Ed decision. As you know, I don't run the Board of Ed. So I agree with you 100%. On the other stuff, you know, look, we're the capital city. We deserve the scrutiny, and I welcome the accountability at any time. But, you know, you can go to any one of the 169 towns in Connecticut and ask questions about, you know, a couple $100,000 expenditure that they made, every single one of them. Now, the statue you're talking about, that isn't even a city expenditure. That's not city money. That's not a decision that I made. And it's not a decision that I made or that I could make. So I respectfully, what I would say is, if you look at the decisions that my administration has made in partnership with my city council, we have been, I think, one of the most disciplined, if not the most disciplined, city government in the state of Connecticut. And I say that with confidence, and I would walk you through our books. Just as I walked, you know, I asked the State Municipal Finance Advisory Council or Commission to review our books. Find another mayor who did that, who asked a state body to look over our shoulders, because I know that we are making the tough decisions, and I'm not afraid to show anybody our books or defend the decisions that we make.
Thank you for the call. Kim in Middletown. Kim, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Mayor, I have a suggestion on the touristy side that I think would help jumpstart the city. And this actually goes back maybe about 25 years ago, and they took it down. The old G. Fox building, they turned into like this holiday theme museum, where they had collections of miniatures and toys and Christmas trees around the world, and a Dickens village with life-size mannequins. And it was like a cultural thing of each holiday. And the line used to be out the door around the block. And then after like 3-4 years ago, for some reason, it got shut down. And it was not only great for kids, but it was great for adults, too. Now, I don't know where that material that they had is all stored, but it was very nostalgic in terms of things that kids grew up with, which was, instead of these iPhones and all that, toys and the Christmas season and things like that. And I don't know, honestly, why it shut down.
So it's a great suggestion. You know, I can't count the people who come up, you know, on a regular basis and talk about, you know, their fond memories of coming down to the G Fox building and seeing the holiday displays, the Christmas displays. You know, it was such an important part of the holiday season and of childhood for a lot of folks. So it's a great suggestion. You know, I'll take it back and talk to the folks who own the building. But
yeah,
the other thing I would say is,
Kim, let him finish, please.
You know, I appreciate Kim. And I'll reach out to folks and talk with them about it. But the other thing I would say is, you know, coming back to the ballpark for a second, a lot of people have great memories of all those things we had 40 years ago. Let's make great memories now with the things that we have right now. Come and take your family, take your kids to a ballpark. They'll remember it forever. You know, you got little kids, they'll remember those ball games forever. And then 30 years from now, they'll be talking about their great memories of that. You know, come down and go to the Wadsworth Athenaeum, which is one of the best museums in the country. It's really an incredible art museum. And, you know, they've actually made it free to Hartford residents, but it's really reasonable for anybody to come. And it's right there in the heart of downtown. You know, come to the shows of the Bushnell. Come enjoy the parks, whether it's at Bushnell Park or Keeney Park or any of the amazing parks that we have. You know, play around the golf on the Keeney Park golf course, which is one of the most beautiful municipal golf courses in the country. My point is, I really appreciate your suggestion, but what I want to say is, let's not just look back at the great things that were. Let's look right now at the great things that are, and let's embrace them, and let's celebrate them, let's enjoy them, and let's make great memories now.
Okay.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. You know, I know you have to leave. The mayor has to leave, and I thank you for the time.
Thank you, Brad. I'm always happy to come by. I appreciate it, and I like talking with your listeners, too.
And we'll see you next month.
Look forward to it. Actually, I hope to see you tomorrow night.
Oh, you'll see me tomorrow night. That's for sure. That is for sure. I mean, on the radio next month.
Sounds good. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Drive
Thank
safe.
You. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. It is a quarter of nine, 8:45.